Good evening, church. My name is James. It's good to be with you tonight. If only I had more time, maybe just an extra hour or two in the day. Have you ever thought this? If only I had more time, then I would be able to get everything done. If I had more time, I'd be able to go to school, go to work, hang out with my friends, have a clean house, get the chores done, and then relax for ages, watch a movie, two movies, maybe a whole season of a TV show. If only there was more time in the day. I run out of time so quickly with the things I have to do, I don't get time to do the things I want to do. It is easy to get caught up with our immediate needs and problems and cut out God. And we think we don't have time for Him. You know what it's like. Life gets busy, our days fill up. We can say, look, God, I'm busy. I don't have time for you today, but tomorrow. I promise tomorrow will be different. It'll be an hour of Bible reading, an hour of prayer. I promise it'll be different. We have bills to pay. And we can say, look, God, I have to work. You understand, I get paid overtime for working on a Sunday. I'm really just taking care of my family. Surely, you will understand. You know, God, look, Bible study would be really good to go to tonight, but look, uni was, that 1 hour of uni I had, it was really tiring, so I just can't make it. Today we're looking at the short book of prophecy from the Old Testament, Haggai. And we're going to be spending all of our time in the first chapter. Haggai prophesies to a people who did not get their priorities straight. They would have thought, look, if we had more time in the day, then I could be a good Jew. But instead, they looked after themselves and didn't prioritize God. We're going to be challenged today to think about the things that are really important. How does God fit into our busy lives? Will He understand if I don't have time for Him? Can I worry about it in years to come? Now, before we start having a look at Haggai, let me paint a bit of the background. Imagine you're a teenager. That'll be easier for some than others. And you're a teenager and you live in Jerusalem. It's the impenetrable city. The walls are huge. But not only the walls, you have God dwelling in the temple, the most important building for a Jew before Jesus came along. You have God, and nobody has ever taken your city. You believe that you will never be beaten. Hoorah, Jerusalem. Come on. But the Babylonian Empire come along. They smash down the walls. They take your king into captivity. They destroy the temple. And you, like many other people, get taken into slavery in Babylon. Time passes. You've now been a slave for 50 years. You're in your mid-60s. And another empire comes along. The Persians, led by Cyrus. And Cyrus decrees all people can go back to their homes. Finally, after 50 years of slavery in Babylon, you can go back. You can go back home where you've been praying to go to. And you take along your children and your grandchildren who've probably never seen their homeland. But when you get back to your homeland, it is in ruins. The temple where God dwelt, where God dealt with sins by the blood of animals, it's been destroyed. All the farms lay fallow, and there is nothing growing. There is next to no economy. And you have the best intentions at heart. You set up an altar to God, you start to rebuild the temple, but it all becomes too hard. There is too much to do. You have to survive, so you spend your time in the fields. Another 20 years pass. You're getting pretty old. You're 85. You've been back in Jerusalem for about 20 years, and it seems like nothing has happened. The temple is still sitting there in ruins. Every time you walk past it to go to the fields, you feel pretty guilty about it. And you think to yourself, if only I had more time. If only I had more time in the day, then I'd have time to help out God. But you've got to look after yourself first. You need food, you need clothes. It is into this situation that God speaks to his people through Haggai. Have a look with me at Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. Please open your Bibles and keep them open. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. God knows what the Jews have been saying. He knows they've been putting off rebuilding God's house, the temple. He's given them 20 years, and they've still ignored the most important building. They have not gotten their priorities right. Look at what they've been doing instead, from verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? God forces them to compare between their houses and God's houses. And God does this because the Jews have been taking care of themselves. They've not only built houses, but they've made them really, really fancy with paneled wood. And this paneled wood potentially came down from Cyprus. This was the wood that was supposed to be used to rebuild the temple. And it's not just that they've built houses for themselves instead of building a house for God, but they've gloried in their houses. And they did not care about God's house. They put paneled wood on them. Now, that might not sound particularly fancy for us, but it would be like living in a mega mansion. You know, you've got marble on your walls, you've got a gold chandelier in every room, even in your pantry. You've got flat screen TVs everywhere, so you don't have to miss a single ball of cricket. It's very fancy. All the while, the temple to God, where God had dwelt, God's house lies in ruins. The temple, which was built meticulously to God's exact standards, has been torn down and looks like a bomb has gone off in it. The Jews who returned from Babylon put their houses before God's house. They put their priorities before God's. And God asks them, consider your ways. Have a look with me at verse 5. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Think about what's been happening. Consider some of the most important things in your life. Food, drink, clothing, wages. You've been taking care of yourself, working hard, but you're hardly surviving. Your basic needs are not even being met. And God explains why in verse 9. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. They worked hard, striving for food, for drink, for clothes, for money, but God blew it away. He brought judgment on them because they did not have their priorities right. Because God's house lay in ruins, while each person was building up their own little kingdom. And God stopped them from being blessed. He stopped the things in nature which brought his blessing. If you know where Jerusalem is on the map, it is in an area where rain is the only way for crops to grow. There is no rivers, there is not a great deal of water. God blesses this land through rain, and that is how the plants grow. But he stopped that. Have a look at verse 10. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. The rain has stopped, but not only has the rain stopped, God has stopped the earth from giving its nutrients to the seeds. You could put a seed in the ground and nothing would happen to it because they got their priorities wrong. and he tells them how to fix it. Verse 7. This is what the Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, so that I might take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Rebuild the temple. Make this your priority. And because you've taken the wood that was for my temple and you put it on your houses, you're going to have to go back up to the mountains, you're going to have to go up and get timber, and you're going to have to bring it down again. If the Jews did this, God would take pleasure and be honored. It's a very strong argument that Haggai brings. You've done the wrong thing. You've glorified in your houses before my house. The work of your hands has been cursed. You are hungry, thirsty, and poor, and your clothes are falling apart, all because you did not put God first. Thankfully, the people respond. Have a look from verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord, their God, had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. They immediately respond. But what guarantee do they have if they go and do all this work for God's house that they will have enough food to survive? God promises that he will be with them. In verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. God speaks, the people respond, and God promises that he will be with them. Because they get their priorities set right, God will be with them. That's the whole point of the temple, so that God could be with them. Now, this is an interesting part of the Bible. I've enjoyed looking at it, but it's fairly obscure. It's in the half of the Bible we don't spend a great deal in. It's in a part called the Minor Prophets, which, again, we don't spend a great deal in. And this is one of the more obscure books of the Minor Prophets from Haggai. And it's about obscure temple theology. How can this even have any relevance for us today? Well, first of all, it's not about this building. As much as the church wardens might like me to say that you need to come here every day before work, make this house a priority, make sure you come here and clean some bricks every day. Maybe you need to start digging for some reason. Maybe the wardens would like me to say that. Ian's smiling at me, maybe he does. But it's not about a building for us. This is about our priorities. It is easy to get caught up with our immediate needs and problems and cut out God and think we don't have time for him. The Jews prioritized themselves and their own houses and they cut out God. What are the important things in your life that you prioritize? When Jesus came, he did away with the need for the temple. We no longer need a house so that God could dwell in it. God came as a man and he dwelt among us. And in Matthew 6, Jesus speaks the same message that Haggai spoke. Let me read from Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. These are the same problems that the people that Haggai spoke to had. Down in verse 32, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need him. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Just like in Haggai, Jesus says, don't chase after these things. Don't chase after external security. These things will fade. They will not bring you joy. Rather, get your priorities straight. Seek God first, and he will take care of the rest. Seeking God first, that means he is the foundation which we build everything else in our life upon. He is the bedrock. And he gives us the same promise that God did to the Jews in Haggai. Let me read from the end of Matthew 28. Jesus is about to depart, but before he goes, he says to his apostles, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And then the very last line, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The apostles were tasked with building God's house by disciple making. And they and us have the same promise. Jesus is with us to the very end of the age. We aren't told to readjust our priorities, hoping to do it alone. God is with us through his Spirit. The most important decision we make in life is to follow Jesus. But the everyday decisions we make in life betray where our priority lie. And I believe that there would be at least four areas in our lives that betray where our priorities are. There's probably four, at least four. Our time. Obviously, what we spend our time on is what we decide is important. Our resources, where we spend our money. Where I spend my money is where I think it's worthwhile to go. Our energy, what I expend my energy on, is where I put my priorities. And fourthly, gifts, where I use my gifts as a person that God has given me, well, there's a priority for those as well. Four things: time, resources, energy, and gifts. But I just want to talk about the first, time. We could spend a lot of time talking about the others, but I think that first one, time, is the most important of these for us. Let me paint what a day could look like for most of us. The alarm goes off in the morning. Before we get out of bed, we grab our phone, quickly check the emails, jump on Facebook, check Instagram, make sure that nothing has happened in those last 8 hours that you don't know about. Maybe I'll throw up a quick prayer if I'm feeling particularly holy, and then I'll get up. If it's early, I might go to the gym before work or uni, or maybe I'll just have breakfast, and while I'm quickly throwing down some food down my face, I will flick through Facebook just to make sure I know everything that has gone on in the last 8 hours. I don't want to miss anything. By 9 a.m., the day has started. Could be at uni, could be at work, could be at school. If you're at work, maybe it's getting a bit boring, so you check Facebook again. If that lecture is getting a bit boring, maybe again you'll check Facebook. The day is filled with meetings, chores, rushing around, trying to keep your head above water. And don't even try and imagine what it would be like to work and study at the same time. That's just impossible. And before you know it, the day is done. You put your head on your pillow and you go to sleep, ready to do it all over again. Does any of this sound familiar to any of you here? I find this happening to me all the time. I used to be one of those people who loved the mornings. Some people here probably wouldn't call them people at all, but I used to be a morning lover. I'd be up early, I would exercise, I'd read my Bible, I'd feel like I've ticked so many boxes by 7 a.m. Now I fight the start of the day. It cannot start. No, stop rising, sun. I'm not actually talking about the sun in the sky at that point. You know, go back to bed. This is not an appropriate time to start the day. My day starts unwillingly. Sure, it's influenced by my two kids, but I can't blame them entirely. Life is busy. But where does your relationship with God our Father fit in? We know at a head level that he should take priority in our lives. He's the God. He made everything. Of course he should take priority. But how often is he the waking thought instead of waking up and reaching for your phone? How often do you awake thinking, how can I serve God today? How is he going to use me to bring him glory? Maybe you are just too busy. Maybe you need to take a good, hard look at your calendar. Look where you've squeezed God in. Look, maybe, you know, God, I can squeeze you in between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. on a Sunday night. And by the way, in that hour, that you are fortunate enough to have in my life, God. I'm very busy. I expect to see a lot of fruit and Christian development in my life. I want you to deal with all of my sin in that 1 hour. Totally change my heart, please. And look, if it's not too much, can you try and make that 1 hour of church entertaining? How do your everyday decisions about how you use your time show where your priorities are? In our instant age of fast-paced media, fast food, instant delivery of TV shows and videos on the internet, we expect God to operate in the same way. We don't create space for patience, for the development of maturity through temptation and trial. We want every benefit of Christ, and I want it now. This week, let me encourage you, carve out some time from your calendar. Small amounts are good to start with. Large ones are even better. Before you go to Bible study, before you go to Crest, before you come to church next week, don't just rush in 15 minutes late and think, I've got to go from work mode to church mode very quickly. It doesn't work. Try and get to church or to Bible study 15 minutes earlier. Stop in the car. Pray. Carve out time in your calendar. And if you find that you're just too busy, as Haggai said, give careful thought to your ways. Jesus said to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. How are we supposed to even think about doing these things if we do not devote any time to it? Readjust your priorities and be reassured that it is worthwhile. Jesus promised that he will be with us to the end of the age. The most important decision we make in life is to follow Jesus. But the everyday decisions we make betray where our priorities lie. Where are your priorities? Will you fall into the same trap as the Jews in Jerusalem? Or will you seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you did not let the Jews in Jerusalem continue as they were, but that you used your prophet, that you used Haggai to readjust their priorities, to remind them to serve you first. Father, this week and every week for the rest of our lives, be our first priority. Help us to serve you in the morning, in the day, and at night. Help us not try to squeeze you in with the time we have left over, but live a life devoted to loving and serving you, Lord. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.